New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1058, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
Hello.
And from, if you heard last podcast.
That's without the
auto-tune. Yeah, I was saying, if you heard last podcast, I told you we added to Derek on the show. from Austin, Texas, author, speaker, podcaster, Jamie Ivey.
Hey, guys.
We have a great show in store for you today. Not our usual guest. I'm excited that we have her. Ginger Duggar. You know the Duggars, all the kids on TV. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ginger Duggar Volo joins us. She has a book that she released. She's she says something in this interview, which is a term that I've not heard. We talked to her about she's kind of distanced herself from the upbringing, but she hasn't left the faith. She has a very strong faith still. And so a lot of people who go through that process say that they've deconstructed their faith, right? And so Emily, who did the interview, you'll hear her ask her about her process of deconstructing. And she says, I didn't deconstruct. I disentangled my faith from the teachings of my upbringing. And that term, disentangled, has stuck with me since I heard this interview. It is fascinating. You don't want to miss it. It's coming up later. We also have a game at the end of the show called Would You Rather, which I am very excited to play with you guys.
I'm nervous even hearing the concept of this.
Would you rather?
Would you rather? Hey, Derek, I wanted to ask, you have been out in and out throughout the spring because you've been on the road a ton doing this listening tour, previewing your new album for fans. You've been doing speaking gigs. I've been noticing a lot of, you know, on your social media, talking to college groups, church groups, talking about the deeper issues of mental health and things that the album tackles. A, how's it going? And B, you want to give any updates on this, the new project? I'm excited for it, man.
Man. So yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. The tour has been crazy in a sense that none of us, like when I started off saying, hey, I'm going to preview my album for people before it comes out and let them rate it and listen to it and give the heart behind it. Most people are like, what? Like an artist never really does that. But everyone always comes in like, okay, what are we doing? And by the time we get into the album, you get a lot of participation. My favorite, so I'm halfway through it. My favorite event so far was San Jose. We did that event, and as we were going through the songs, we got to my single that just came out, It's Okay Not to Be Okay, video and all of that. And people just started confessing that they're not doing okay. And they started, people were crying. I had to literally stop the set and stop the event, and we just prayed together. This is the most beautiful experience I've ever been a part of in my entire life. Like, and I'm talking about all ages. Like, we had a young guy. It's like, man, I come in here all the time. I have high anxiety. I'm afraid, you know, to tell people what's going on. We had an older lady say, you know, her husband died 3 years ago. And we had people talking about childhood trauma. And it's just been beautiful watching as I talk about my process, people saying, hey, you know, I'm working through things as well. So, yo, it's been amazing. Like, I want you to come out to it. I'm going on the East Coast now. We're going to New York down to Florida. So, DerekMiner.com, you can get all the information there for sure.
And the album, awesome, the album will release when?
So, I don't know, but I think June, I'm hoping, because there's a sample clearance. You know us rappers, we like to take and make derivatives of other people's work. The song is too good for me to just let it, you know, not happen. So right now we're in negotiations with some people over this sample thing. And once we get that buttoned up and tightened up, then I'll have more details. But we're looking May, June-ish is what we're looking at.
That's awesome. I've literally never heard of an artist doing what you're doing. Like a listening tour thing. Okay, so here's the question I have, because I've seen all these clips that you've posted on TikTok and IG and stuff, and you're usually in a room. There's usually 20, 30 people. You're in the front. You're talking. They're listening. They're engaging. It's a dialogue, it seems like. Yeah. And then I'm assuming you hit play on a track.
Yeah.
You're up front. What does everybody look at when the song is playing? Are you up there? Are you sing? Are you kind of doing lyrics? Do you step to the side? What's the vibe when the music's playing?
I'm kind of chilling. And that's the thing that it's different everywhere. Cause some places I have we got screens. Some places it's really lo-fi and we don't have anything. But a lot of times I'm just kind of mouthing the lyrics. I'm kind of chilling, but I don't really play the whole song. You know, I usually play like a verse and a hook. So most of the time people are just kind of looking down, bobbing their head. They're on their phone. And the cool thing is it's interactive. So on the phone, you can put notes on how you feel about the song. Or you could put, you actually rate the song. And then when the whole thing is over with, you give the feedback. So that's been the most beneficial part of the whole project is I'm getting the actual feedback from the people that are listening all the way through when they're telling me what songs they like, what songs they don't like, how they feel about the album in general. So that has been really cool.
Okay. As an artist, artists are sensitive. Mm-hmm. This is your heart. This is your blood, sweat, and tears that you're putting out in front of people, and then they're going like a 3. What do you do with feedback that they're giving you? Do you just go, you're not worthy of this song, I don't care? Or like, do you actually like go back to the lab and be like, I need to tinker? Like, what are you doing with this
that
feedback?
I'm interested to hear your approach on that, Derek.
I'm my worst critic. There's not a critic that can out-critic me about my own music. So, you just kind of get, a lot of artists are different. I think being seasoned, having multiple records, and then also being as, you know, awarded as I am as an artist kind of keeps a level of confidence. But yeah, I mean, it can be bad when somebody says, hey, I don't like that song. But then I've just realized that every song isn't for everybody, and every song isn't for everybody at every time. There's songs that I've heard at one season of my life that I could care less about. And then a different season of my life, I fall in love with it. So it's just being realistic that I'm not the greatest artist of all time to everyone. You know what I mean? To some people, they're going to love it. Other people, you know, I may not be their cup of tea, and I'm not really called to the people that I'm not their cup of tea. I'm called to the people that care about what I have to say and that love what I do. So it's really trying to be confident in that.
Oh, yeah, Justin, that's a 4. You know who didn't think it's a 4? The Grammys. The Grammys didn't think it was a 4.
Yeah, really, an 8.7.
Right. Okay. It does help when your music is good, too, though. Like, I haven't got a lot of, like, it's like if you got 400 comments and 4 of them are, like, 2s and 3s, you're like, I think I'll be okay. Like, it is what it is, you know.
Is it hard to be a man for you? Doing all I can for you. Always try my best for your love. Just know it's hard to be myself sometimes. Try to keep myself in line. Try to do my best.
You're listening to Anna of the North. The song is Try My Best. If you want to hear more from Anna, check out the spring issue of Relevant. We have a great feature with Anna in the spring issue. You can check it out at relevantmagazine.com. Just click on the magazine tab there. Great artist, great album. Not sure what's next after college? Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant.
Okay, it's time for
Slices!
All right, what do you have, Jesse?
All right, this is a follow-up because what started as a joke on this podcast is now reality. And I'm not saying what? That we should take credit for it.
We should. What is it?
But the company Val, who is experimenting with DNA of extinct animals, particularly the woolly mammoth,
okay,
announced the project to make a woolly mammoth meatball.
Oh, yeah.
And
they've already made it. It's not announced. They made it. They made a woolly mammoth meatball.
Well, I'm a little skeptical. They took DNA from an extinct woolly mammoth. They fused it with an African elephant, and I want to say they used one other reasonably common animal to kind of
like a duck or something.
So fill in some gaps, and then basically in a petri dish or whatever the process is of making lab grown meat. Fused it and to make a hybrid protein that is literally like a 4,000-year-old protein. Now they said they had a couple of reasons for this. One, to raise awareness about their
ability,
their project there, but then also as like a sustainable way of growing meat. The only thing is like why not just apply that? If that was the reason, why not just apply that without the mammoth? Why we inject a woolly mammoth into the equation?
Right.
Yeah.
But I am 1,000% for it. Yeah. I'm 1,000% for this for reasons I can't really articulate. Like I can't make a good case why I love this, but I would love, like nothing would make me more happy than at some point to walk in to a Subway. And if the $5 foot long was a woolly mammoth meatball sub, it would be like, what a time to be alive. Any problem in the world can be solved if I can go to Subway and order a woolly mammoth meatball sub. This is just a great innovation across the board, in my opinion.
We posted this and it's huge. The meatball is huge. I mean, it's the size of 3 or 4 basketballs. I mean, it's like a very, very large meatball, And Emily and I were talking. And she was like, would you ever try the woolly mammoth meatball? And I was like, no, I wouldn't. I mean, because the scientists described the taste and texture of the meat. Like it's chewier. It's like a tangier. It tastes like a different kind of a meat. I mean, it's like a woolly mammoth. Like it's actually.
Wasn't there a movie called The Blob or something? Like, I mean, I'm just waiting for the zombie. That's how the zombie apocalypse happened. Like this, every time we get one of these, I'm just gonna say this is how it happens. Like, what are we
scientists,
doing?
It seems like scientists are not asking. They're asking, can we? Or they're asking, like, could we? Not should we? You know what I mean? It's like, hey, you know what we could make is a woolly mammoth meatball. They're not asking, should we make a woolly mammoth meatball?
So here's the thing.
You had me at woolly mammoth meatball. Whatever happens from there, I'm fine with.
Right. Look, this is what they are okay with letting us know. So I was like, what are you working on back there that we have no clue we'll find out five years from now? That's like, oh, yeah, there's an actual velociraptor in San Jose Zoo. You know what I mean? Like what is that? Like, come on, y'all. Like, it's, what are we doing? Like,
remember
what are
we brought it on the podcast.
What are y'all doing? It ain't we, because I don't got no education to do this. But
two, three months ago, we brought up that thing about the baby farms that they're trying to build in Germany, where you can like order designer babies and they incubate them. Yeah. And like, you can literally design their intelligence, their personality, their characteristics, their height.
How you say this? This is a little different. This is a little different.
It's a little different.
The meatball versus the baby.
Yeah, the end result is, man, the end result is, oh, guys, man, this woolly mammoth is not settling well with me. I don't think I got a Pepto-Bismol after that.
Oh, my gosh.
That woolly mammoth meat. That's a gamey. It's a gamey meatball.
So Jesse, you would eat the gamey meatball if it became mass produced.
Oh, I would have regular spaghetti and woolly mammoth meatball nights. It's fantastic. I love it.
Because they did say like we're not mass producing it yet, but we just want to show a proof of concept that we could, because they're saying like it could be a solution in this food sustainability crisis that could be coming because of climate change, blah, 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 blah.
But once again, there's no need to put the woolly mammoth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why woolly? Why woolly?
Why didn't you do it with beef? Right. It's like there are tons of things that are not extinct that you could have tried out. like right. a cow.
Yeah. You didn't know? Have to go yeah. prehistoric. Yeah.
Really? I mean, you're going to wake up one of these ancient bacteria viruses and then everybody's going to be eating each other's brain. So congratulations, you know.
There you go. All right. What do you have, Jamie?
Okay. I cannot wait to hear what you guys say about this. Okay. So where I live and where Derek lives, everyone's moving to our cities from California. Okay.
In droves. State going back coming. To Cali. Please.
Going back to Cali.
With okay. Biggie. Okay, sorry.
California lawmakers, all right, they have a new debate that could put the end of sale of tobacco products over the next several decades. So they're not even just saying like, we want to help people not. They're saying we want to end the sale. Here's what it is. If this is passed, retailers, customers like you and I, well, none of us, if you were born after January 1st, 2007, you can never, ever, ever, ever buy tobacco products.
Man, they finna be in Nashville, bro. It's like, y'all don't want nobody in California. Like, it's just, what you don't want people to stay.
So, the person who's pushing this forward, he says, I quote, "This is not about taking away current rights of anyone, although it is. It's about not creating a new generation of people addicted to nicotine." So this bill, it's not going to affect current tobacco users, but anyone born after 2006 will never be able to buy them. It does not apply to marijuana or hookah sales, though. So there's that. You can still continue with your hookah and your marijuana.
So you can smoke a blunt, but you can't smoke a Marlboro, what you're saying?
Yep. Yeah. So obviously the tobacco industry is not thrilled about this. And, you know, they're saying it could lead to a significant loss of tax dollars that are coming in through tobacco sales. So there's a lot of people that support it, a lot of people that don't. And obviously, this will have to go through a lot of stages before it ever got passed. Cigarette smoking remains the leading cause of preventable disease and death in the U.S. Each year, more than 480,000 Americans die from smoking cigarettes. So California is trying to say, not on our watch. These young kids are not going to die from smoking cigarettes. They will die at a hookah bar, but not smoking cigarettes.
Thoughts? Or from diabetes or high blood pressure. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, what you going to outlaw sugar next? I mean, go ahead and do that. Outlaw the sugar.
My thoughts are probably predictable if people have listened to the show.
Libertarian.
I think if people are aware of the risk and they are aware of what it can do to your health and do, you know, and make you, you know, physically dependent on this product, and people know that it's not hidden like it was in the Mad Men era, mm-hmm. where you have slick people like Don Draper trying to convince you that it's good for you or harmless, and you know the risk. Like, that's, I feel like I can go into a Nuno's pizza and order a deep dish pizza that's like 6,000 calories. You know, I don't know. I'm just pulling a number out of this guy. Don't come after me, Uno. But whatever. I can go and gorge myself at Cold Stone for empty calories that are going to do damage to you know, my insulin levels.
I can eat a Willie Mammoth meatball.
It seems like a little bit of a slippery slope, and having like I said, a social institution like the government dictating behavior instead of equipping the citizenry to be personally responsible for their behavior. But look, to each their own, I guess.
Which I don't know what the California laws as far as how old you have to be to buy cigarettes. I think in Texas it's 18.
I think that's everywhere. I think everywhere is 18. So,
you know, they're wanting to say that anyone who is 16 or younger, it's not even, you don't even wait till you're 18. You can't ever buy cigarettes.
Y'all complaining about too many people moving to your state. Bunch of amateurs. We're overrun more than y'all are. I just texted y'all.
Oh, yeah. I just saw that. Man, look.
Look at the numbers.
It's crazy.
I'm not mad at them. It is, though, every time I meet someone, they're like, oh, yeah, we're moving here from California.
I know. Same here, man. It's either New York or California.
Ron DeSantis just sent a whole bunch of people y'all away. He said, freedom! Come here for freedom.
The three of us live in three of the five states with no state income tax. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tennessee, Texas, mm-hmm. and Florida. So it's like, leaving California, leaving New York, you got to go to one of our states. Right, you know? Anyway,
Anyway. I just don't need, me, every time someone asks me, do I want to move to California? I'm like, for what? I want to keep my money. Like, it's like, you know, hey, I'll just vacation to California with all the money I saved. You know what I mean? But
for real.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. What do you have, Derek?
So I've been immersed in AI news. Like, it's the most fascinating thing in the world to me right now. I really am interested to see where we're going as a society with this disruption, because I honestly feel like we're at a Google, we're at a Apple iPhone moment in history as far as technology is concerned. I feel like that's where we're at. So a lot of y'all, if you don't know about ChatGPT, where, you know, hey, if you need some information, you need... So I look at ChatGPT almost like a personal assistant. You know, you need an email written up. You need some TikTok hooks. You know, you need a recipe. ChatGPT, gotcha. But there's certain things ChatGPT just not going to add. You ask ChatGPT something bad, it's going to say, look, hey, I ain't here for that. But if you need a good brownie recipe, I got you, right? An AI called Freedom GPT, I think is what it's called. And you can ask that whatever you want. It's unbridled. Crazy. There's no censorship on it. It's just whatever you ask, it spits back out an answer. And in typical America fashion, in typical human fashion, now you have the most racist, destructive AI you could think of. This is crazy.
Journalists have discovered
that Freedom GPT has no limits to what it will say or do, from things like praising Hitler, advocating that unhoused people be shot, spreading conspiracy theories, suggesting ways to kill yourself, cleaning tips on a crime scene, of course using the N-word. You know, that's probably the first thing it did. And also how to look at very crazy sexual stuff. So, again, another technology company not asking should we, but can we?
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that this is not going to play out good. I just don't think it will. So,
You saw the open letter, right? I mean, like all the tech, like Elon Musk and like 100 of the top tech people, like put an open letter out there saying, listen, all the AI companies that are developing stuff that's more advanced than ChatGPT-4, please stop. We need to collectively talk about this, because there's so much happening that's not being publicly known right now. And it's like, hey, we need to bring all this out to the light. We need to talk about what's going on, because ChatGPT is nothing. That's going to look like, you know, archaic in a year. I mean, right? Because ChatGPT-4 is already out. They're working on 5, but then there's a million other companies working on stuff far more advanced. And they're trying to say, like, guys, we need to have a consensus here. We need to have, like, boundaries, like guardrails, something. We need to have some sort of ethics guiding this, and nobody's. It's a Wild West. And
I mean, copyright law is just already blown out of the smithereens as far as like art and entertainment is. I just heard Kanye West sing 4,000 different songs that he's never sang before in his life. Like, there's a guy that's just literally taking Kanye's voice, and he has him singing Kid Cudi, has him singing, you know, I mean, gospel songs.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Right, he's singing all kind of crazy stuff. So it's literally like a yay AI that just sings everything. So, like, and then now you have even art. Like, are they taking things and making derivatives of actual art pieces to create new art? And then now we're taking that art and we're animating it with someone else's voice. You know, I'm with Elon. We need to slow down, because pretty soon we're going to be in trouble.
My hope is that all these chat programs, it's like, remember the Theranos story where Elizabeth Holmes created this device that could do the seemingly impossible, and she was just really like taking it over to like a machine that was equipped to do it and getting samples. You know, it was all a big fraud. I hope that one day soon we learn that at ChatGPT, it's just a room full of people just chatting with people, just messing with them.
That would be amazing.
That would be the greatest scandal that would make me as happy as a woolly mammoth meatball.
Well, that's actually that's actually a conspiracy theory. So yeah, there's actually a conspiracy theory that says that behind ChatGPT is not actually a robot, but it's either aliens or demons that are.
Oh,
you know, it's going to be alien demons if it's anything like It's not going to be people in the room. It's going to be alien demons. So, you know, but yeah, so I don't know what it is, but all I know is Freedom GPT. I kind of feel I shouldn't even told y'all about this because now I know some of y'all probably going to be on there asking the most ridiculous stuff.
I'll just say those alien demons gave me a banging blueberry muffin recipe. So,
unfortunately, it was a very, very racist blueberry muffin. But other than that, it was delicious.
You know? Very moist in the, you know, so.
Anyway, all right. Well, that'll do it for Slices. Stay tuned. Up next, Ginger Duggar Volo joins us. You're listening to Lauren Daigle. The song is Waiting.
She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun by Sister Monica Claire is available now wherever books are sold.
Well, our guest today is Ginger Duggar Volo. You know her as one of the daughters from TLC's 19 Kids and Counting. She's been on an interesting spiritual journey over the last few years, and we sat down to talk to her about it. Our very own Downtown Emily Brown talked to her about how she's disentangled her faith and how she hopes to inspire others to do the same. Here's our conversation with Ginger Duggar Volo.
Just for some of our listeners for the podcast, they may not know kind of like what the story that you've been on and the journey that you've been on. So, you know, I don't want to like give away the book, but can you kind of like just summarize sort of like what you've been walking through for the last few years?
Yeah. Well, to start, like I said, I grew up in the public eye from young age of 10. And that was something that was just what I knew. And I grew up also in a setting where my parents taught me about Jesus. They taught me about how salvation's not by works. I can't come to Jesus through anything other than the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And so trusting in Jesus and repenting of my sins, turning to Him. So I knew that was what salvation was. But sadly, we followed a teacher who taught things that were totally opposite of the Bible. And I would say it was cult-like in nature because he would teach a lot of things that were very binding. He was very comfortable placing burdens upon people that he said were Bible, but there was actually really in reality things that the Bible was silent on. And so I was very confused about who Jesus was and about what he expected of me. So I lived in a lot of fear, under a lot of fear and superstition. His teachings were like full of manipulation. So I was very confused. So I have been, the past several years, I've been on a journey of disentangling truth from error and finding freedom in Jesus and realizing what the Bible actually says and how to read the Bible has been like something that I've learned like throughout these years, and I'm still growing and learning, but figuring out what the Bible actually says is so freeing. And seeing who Jesus is, that he's a kind and loving savior. He's not just trying to get me at any turn for something I didn't know I did wrong.
You know, and it's interesting because I did notice you use the word disentangle. I think some people might try to argue what you're doing is deconstruction. Is there a reason you use disentangle versus deconstruction? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that is such an interesting point. And I think, like you said, so many people, like yourself included, have struggled with these things, like figuring out, okay, I was taught about Jesus, but there are so many things that like added onto it. So what's actually true? So going back to the Word of God, realizing, okay, I want to read the Bible in its context. I don't want to pull out a verse here and there to make it say whatever I want it to say. And a lot of teachers sadly do that. And so people are raised in that environment, or maybe they're harmed by a teacher who claims to speak for God but actually doesn't. And those types of things often become so hard for people to get past. And so it's tough. I see like a ton of people nowadays, sadly, are turning to deconstruction, where they're tearing their faith apart down to the studs, never to rebuild it again. And that's something that they say, this is my only hope. This is the only place I can go, because I have to run to tearing it all apart and never turning back to the Bible ever again, because I've been so harmed. But that's not the only way. And that's something that I wanted to share with people, because I know my journey, it's been a very long and hard journey. I shared this so many times because I feel like it is so helpful, where it's like, if I get putty stuck in my hair, I can just shave my head and say, I'm done with this. I'm gonna get the putty out. I'm not gonna ever, you know, have that in there again. Or you can just take the time to pick out the putty, even though it's painful, it's hard, it's a long process, but it's necessary. So that's something where I feel like on this disentangling journey, it's been disentangling truth from God's word, or verses that are there that were twisted by a teacher, that truth, the elements of truth from error. And that's something that has been so freeing, because I begin to see in this process who Jesus actually is, and realizing, okay, this teacher said he was this. He was like, always out to get me. If you do something that you don't know is sin, then God's just waiting to smite you at any turn. And that's not how God operates. God's word is very clear on what things are sin and what he does expect of us as believers. But within so many teachings, I feel like it's so sad, because so many teachers will just say, yeah, it's up to you. Like, if you feel this way today, that's what God wants from you. And that's just not how God operates. So it is one of just going back to the Bible and going back to the Word of God and saying, okay, I want to read this properly, and I want to know God for who he truly is in his word.
I would love to know kind of what started you on this journey. Like, what set this in motion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting. I think that I had never really questioned the teachings of Bill Gothard or IBLP, which is the Institute Basic Life Principles, that was a part of, like, that was his teaching seminars and stuff. So that was something that I thought, this Bill Gothard's a teacher sent from God. So even though I would never say in that time that anybody else had this special handle on God's word or was getting a word from God, I did not quite believe in that stuff. But at the same time, I allowed Bill Gothard to be that in my mind. So I thought, he has a special, you know, maybe God sent him to us to be this prophet from God, where he could tell us these truths that we wouldn't see anywhere else, that no one else knew about. So I would look at others who were outside of these teachings and have pity on them, thinking, man, they're just handicapped because they can live the Christian life, they can go to heaven, but here on earth, they're gonna have all these challenges and they're not gonna know why. But it wasn't until my now husband, Jeremy, came on the scene where I was like, wait, this guy really loves Jesus. He doesn't have a lot of these external things that I would think are necessary to follow Jesus. Like, I kind of thought, like, oh, if you don't have these certain standards about courtship or modesty or whatever, if you don't like preach that stuff, then you're not like in our camp. So I saw he didn't have that. But what he did have was something deeper within his heart. I saw he's committed to the Word of God. He loves the Word of God. He loves the Lord, even more so than I'd seen in anybody else in that setting. Because a lot of times it's kind of scary. You're like, okay, you can put up this front of who we think you are, But then ultimately it's years will pass and then you'll see, oh, this person didn't actually love Jesus in the first place. They were just following all these standards and it made them look good on the outside. So that was a fear of mine. Like, oh no, like how would I know even who I'm supposed to marry? Because how do I know if this person's legit? So with Jeremy though, there was a difference. There was that deep love for Jesus that just permeated everything I saw coming from his life. And he was just such a sweet guy. So I was like, okay, that caught my attention. But it wasn't until we started like getting to know each other that my dad was like, okay, I think I want you guys to watch like 60 plus hours of Bill Gothard seminars together. And then before you can move forward in your relationship. So we started watching these seminars and immediately it was interesting. Jeremy was like, oh wait, what did he just say? And what does the Bible actually say? And so we'd open our Bibles and it was like a light bulb moment, like an aha moment. I remember one time in particular, he told someone, before you can come to Jesus, do my steps, do these three steps. And then, cause you can't bring Jesus into that mess. And it was like, whoa, boy, you can't say that. Like, that's insane, because the word of God is enough. You are not going to say anything outside of the Bible that is going to save someone. It's only the word of God. It's only the work of Christ in their heart. It's not doing any works or steps before they come to Jesus. Jesus is saying, you know, if you come to him and you're trying to work your way to Jesus, that's, you're not going to get to him. So you have to realize our need for God and brokenness. Like, I can't call him. I can't bring anything to him. He is good and perfect. And his righteousness will be imputed to us. It will be, we'll be counted as righteous when we come to Jesus in faith. So for anybody who is, you know, struggling with their view of Jesus, I would just say run to Jesus, because he is kind and he's a loving and gracious Savior. So even if you've been harmed within theology or the church or someone, you know, who's twisted the words of God, just run to Jesus. Like, that's my heart in all of this, is just that you would know who he is and not who even other people said Jesus is. And that's my heart, that for anyone who is wrestling with these things, that they would come to have peace in their heart, knowing who Jesus is in his word.
That was Ginger Duggervola. Make sure to check out her new book. It's called Becoming Free Indeed. It's available now. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's Would You Rather. You're listening to Panchico. The song is Until I Know. Okay, well, little behind the scenes. We're recording at a weird time, and Jesse had to go. We don't know why. We just heard a loud siren, and his screen went blank. People were screaming real briefly. We hope he's okay. We hope Jesse... No, I'm kidding. Jesse just had to run. So we're going to play...
That is terrifying, Cameron. My goodness.
If you're in the Virginia Beach area, please check on Jesse and his family. No, I'm just joking. They're great. Jesse had to run a few minutes early. But so Derek and Jamie are still here, and we are going to play a few minutes of Would You Rather. I'm just going to lob out a scenario and you guys can answer. That's all it is. There's no winner or loser here. It's
okay,
just,
I love it.
Just friends hanging out. That's all this is. A little way just to just,
friends.
You know, just Yay. Hang out. Okay. Here we go. Would you rather be a contestant on Survivor, which I have been, you guys haven't been on the show for the last few weeks.
You told us you're binging.
Oh, I'm binging hardcore. I've watched so many seasons of Survivor. It is so bad. I'm deep in the rabbit hole of Survivor right now. It's so dumb. I'm fully aware of how stupid and lame it is, but I'm having fun. Anyway, would you rather be a contestant on Survivor or a contestant on Love is Blind? Assuming you were single. Assuming you were single.
Oh, we. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Derek.
I'm definitely Love Is Blind over Survivor. I'm not an outdoorsman, so there's just nothing.
Yeah,
in
but
me.
You would be so entertaining on Survivor, dude, because of that reason.
It would, but that would not be good for me. You said, would I rather? You see what I'm saying? What would be the better show?
Would you rather watch?
I'll do Love Is Blind all day. Like, I don't have a problem with that. I've never seen Love Is Blind, so I'm assuming it's just blind dates, right?
Kinda.
I've never seen it either. But aren't you like making a commitment at the end of it? That's why I'm out.
It's like you don't
see. I'd rather be Survivor.
You don't see the person you're talking to. Like you get to know this person over long conversations and there's a wall between you. So the idea is you're attracted to the person, not their appearance. So you establish deep connections with people. You fall in love without knowing what they look like.
Dope. So then what I would do, my strategy would be to say no, and then I'll just DM the person after the show is over with. So
there you go. See, I would pick Survivor because I don't like not being in on things. So everyone's going to be watching and the whole world knows something I don't know. I'm out. I that makes me feel super uncomfortable.
Yeah,
interesting.
So, Survivor.
Here's the issue with Survivor. And Derek,
or you just break up. Like, it's like, yes. And it's like, we walk off the show and it's like, all right, hey, you know, just ghost the person.
But then you're known as the person who fell in love with someone for their personality. And then you saw them and you were like, no, I'm out. Like, what if I didn't like
their personality after we met?
Okay. Well, that's
you didn't have to stick with them. You sample a bunch of different people to find the person that you do connect with. That's the whole point. It's like,
I got it. Okay.
Dating roulette show.
It's on Netflix. To be honest, I'm good. I'm still not trying to be outside with lions, tigers, and bears. So,
Derek, here's the other thing, Derek, that I've learned about Survivor because I didn't know this. I started by accident. I was watching something else, and then there was one season on Netflix. So I was like, oh, let me just check that out. And I was like, oh, this is good. And then I went backwards and got into the wormhole of Survivor. I didn't know this, but I have now since learned it that it was kind of known for having this, but Survivor had a race problem. So like early seasons of Survivor, not only just in casting, but when they did have minority casting, they were always voted out early.
Oh yeah.
Well, and I'm sitting there going, dude, they always vote out the black guy like almost right away. Or like the black girl. It's unbelievable. I'm sitting there watching this going like, how is this okay?
I mean,
season after season after season, dude.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that wasn't okay when Survivor was created. Yeah. And it, I went back and listened to some old rap records. I was like, yeah, this would never fly today. Like, it's just,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we've progressed a lot more. So I was like, I can see it, which is another, but listen, black folks don't really, I'm not going to say black people don't like to be outside, but city folk don't really like to be outside like that. A lot of us is in cities. So for me, I was never going to submit my tape to be on Survivor anyway. So y'all can have it, you and the rest of the white folks.
No. But here, to their credit, to the show's credit, seasons 41, 42, 43, 44, they completely course corrected. They addressed it head on. They literally talked about it. Like the show creators talked about it.
Cameron.
Is it that? Who's the Mark Goodman? Who is that?
Are you up to season 41 from season one?
No.
What have you been doing?
Here's what happened. Okay, this is for real. This is what happened.
Boy is sitting in his drawers just watching Survivor from sunup to sundown.
Okay, hey, I know how absolutely lame this is. Hey, I was texting Derek and Prop the other night. We talk every day. Okay, just a little off air. Stuff we talk every day, and we were just open up about some different things. We check in on each other. We're good friends, and I said to the guys, like, I just, if I'm stepping back and zooming out on my life, I am happier than I've been in years. But I'm also, if I'm honest, I'm also bored, and I'm fully aware that I'm filling a gap right now by just binge watching this stupid show for the last few weeks. That's just truth. It's fine, whatever, innocent fun. It's just a little season I'm in. Fine, I'm aware it's a rut. Big deal. But here's what I've watched, Jamie. I started with 40, season 40, which is current. It was kind of like 2020. 41, 42, 43. It's currently on 44. I've watched those, and then I'm like, crap. And then I Googled, what are the best seasons? And it said like season 30. So I was like, boom, let's watch 30. And then I was going to go 30 to 40. I was like, man, but I'll burn through that pretty quick. So let me back up a little further. I went to 20. So the first thing I watched was 41, 42, 43, 44, the current stuff, which is where they have addressed the old problems right? So my introduction was this new era where things are very different now, right?
Right.
And now I'm watching older shows and I'm like, this is a problem. Like, what in the world? How did America think this was okay 12 years ago, 10 years ago?
America like, this thought is a lot like, was okay 10 years ago.
Dude, I am like, it's staggering, man. I'm like, I just going backwards in time, just being reminded of kind of how far we've come in a decade is just insane right now. Anyway, all right. Would you rather, a couple more questions. Here we go. Would you rather have the ability to see 10 minutes into the future or 150 years into the future?
10 minutes.
10 minutes for me.
150 years.
I'm good on 150 years. I don't even want to see doggone meatball, woolly mammoth, flying artificial intelligent raptors. Like, I don't want to see none of the Jurassic.
I'm already stressed about the future. Yeah, why am I going to need to know? 10 minutes
is cool. I just want to know how I could play the Powerball before.
That's all I need.
I need that much time.
He needs that Back to the Future 2, Biff Tannen.
That's all I need. I need
sports
that.
Book.
That's it. That's all I need. I don't need anything more than that. We good.
All right. Would you rather be forced to sing along or dance to every single song you hear? Sing along to or dance to every single song you hear?
I like to do both of them and I'm terrible at both of them. And so for me, it's just like, what would be the best for the people around me? Maybe not having to hear me would be better than having to watch it go down.
A song is on and you have to dance to it. That's better for the people around you?
I'm tone deaf, Cameron. You don't want to hear what happens when I start.
But
singing.
You're just over there like tap dancing in the corner. I mean, it's like
we have to define what dancing is, because if it's just me doing a little ditty bop, then you know I'm gonna definitely pick dancing too. If it's just just vibing, bobbing my head or whatever, you know what I mean. But if I got to do like a, if I got to break out into like a Family Guy like dance routine or something, then you know what I mean? Like that, I'm definitely probably going to pick singing. But I mean, both of those sound pretty horrendous in their most extreme states, just being honest. Mm-hmm.
But listen, if you throw a wedding reception and you got a DJ, I'm out there all night long. I don't care how bad I look. I am having fun.
I'm going to renew my vows with my wife just to see that. We're renewing our vows and inviting you out just so I can see that.
There you go. All night.
All right. Would you rather eat only pizza for a year or not eat any pizza for 5 years?
Okay. So I like pizza, but I don't love pizza. Yeah. So I'm going to cut it out for five years.
Yeah, I'm going to go without it. Pizza for 5 years, for a year straight. But I don't even think my stomach could take that. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, no question for me. I would eat pizza. I would eat nothing but pizza for 5 years. I would eat nothing but I love pizza. All right, here we go. Would you rather have universal respect or unlimited power?
First you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the respect. Give me the power. No one man should have all this power. I'm gonna do that.
I think I would go for power too.
Really? That surprised me. I thought you guys would split on this one. Power. Jamie Ivey craves power.
No, I don't. But I would. I feel like I could do good things with that more than just I have your respect. Like I could do something with the power.
Right. Respect is just we love you, bro. I got a lot of respect. And respect doesn't always equal to motion. But power.
And it doesn't always cause change.
Exactly.
Either.
Yeah.
Would you rather give up air conditioning and heating for the rest of your life or give up the internet for the rest of your life?
All right, here's the caveat. Is it just like you just give those things up? Because my job is based with using the internet. So
mine too.
Would I have to give
It's just...
Yeah, find a different way to do your job, man. You got to make music without the internet.
I might just...
You're talking to a Floridian? I'm going to figure out a way. I'm not giving up AC. Yeah, you're talking to a Floridian. I'm giving up the internet. I'll figure out something else to do for a job.
Wow. Listen, people lived a long time before us without the internet and they were just fine. They might have been happier.
Right.
And people lived a long time before us without AC and heat. So we could figure out one way.
They also didn't live in Florida though. They lived up north where the outside was AC, you know? Anyway.
I can't decide.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna keep the internet. I think I'm gonna keep the internet and move to Cali. That's what I'm gonna
do. Move. Yeah, get there you go. Yeah, move up to Vancouver or something.
Yeah.
Or San Francisco. It's 50 degrees in the summer. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Would you rather labor under a hot sun or extreme cold?
I will choose hot any day over cold. I do not want to be cold.
I'm the exact opposite.
You can take off clothes, all the things. If you're cold, there's not enough clothes in the world to get you warm.
I say I'm the opposite.
Put me in the heat.
If it's cold, you can always put on more clothes. If it's hot, you can't take off more clothes if once you've taken everything off. Interesting. Derek?
I ain't messing with no cold. So, you know.
No, I know that. He thinks my house is too cold.
Bro, your house is frigid. Like, it's
what do you keep your air at?
At negative three.
70.
Negative 70. Three. Oh, it's not 70. Like, yeah. It's not 70 at all, Cameron.
Seven. It is 70 degrees.
It's not 70. It's seven. Okay.
But see, if you like it like that, you can always put a sweatshirt on.
Exactly. And I wear hoodies all summer long at home.
I wear hoodies all summer in my house as well because we keep it cold.
All right. Would you rather be 11 feet tall or 9 inches tall?
Oh.
That is very That's awful.
Honey, I shrunk the kids. I mean, 11 feet. You can't do nothing if you're 9 inches tall.
I agree with that.
What you going to do?
Yeah. 11 feet, at least you can function in society, even though you're limited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you?
I mean, I say you're limited.
More than
9 inches, you can't do nothing.
You can't do anything.
There's no vehicle that you can get in at 11 feet tall. There's no...
convertibles.
Bruh. Yo,
is there anyone that's 11 feet tall, or is that like
8 feet something is Guinness? Okay. 8 feet something.
I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna say 11 feet just because I don't want to get ate by a bird. That's really the main reason. I just don't want to get ate by a bird. Like, that's,
I mean, that's
the main
taller
reason
than most of our ceilings in some houses.
So we're gonna go 11 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of that one, it's not on this list, but I actually saw this one. I asked this one at staff meeting this morning. Would you rather, let me see if I can word this right. Would you rather have it that every time you encountered a dog, it chased and attacked you, or every time every bird chased and attacked you? Would you rather be chased and attacked by every dog you encountered or every bird you encountered?
I mean, we need to define attack.
What is the range of encounter? Is it I'm dry?
You're outside and every dog that goes by, he's like rah, 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 and comes at you, or every bird on that walk comes at you.
I'm taking the dog, and here's why. Because I feel like I love dogs so much I could calm them down. Birds, I don't know birds. Birds don't like humans, and I don't want birds coming at my head. So I'm going for the dog.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, I think I'm going for the dog too. Just because I feel like they have less.
You can see it coming. You can see it coming.
A bird is just like you're just walking down the street, get popped in the back of the head by a beak.
I'm not down for that. Cool. And they'll swarm too. There's going to be a bunch of them.
There's like a lot more birds than dogs.
They travel together.
All right, last one.
I'm chilling.
Last one. Would you rather have Beyonce's talent or Jay-Z's business skills?
Oh, give me Jigga's business.
I'm going to go Beyonce. Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. I'm going to do Beyonce.
I'm going Jay-Z business skills.
100%.
I'll take Derek Minor talent and Jay-Z business skills 10 times out of 10, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, Jay-Z's business skills will take that Derek Minor talent to become, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Jay-Z
this man went from the projects in Brooklyn to being a billionaire. We're going to take that right there. That's what we take.
There you go.
But although, you know, I would like, you know, Beyonce be doing her thing. You know what I mean?
She's done pretty well for herself.
I mean, I think her money is a little bit longer than Jay-Z's, honestly.
See? Yeah.
What?
I think so.
No, I don't think so. Hold on. I'm checking it. Who's richer? Beyonce.
And the internet knows, guys,
or
everything.
Jay-Z. Well, they usually do know this stuff. Beyonce's net worth is $500 million which is $800 million less than Jay-Z, who's worth $1.3 billion.
Oh, okay. Hey, look. Well, then,
he's a full-on billionaire.
I chose correct.
I'll still take her $500 million.
Hey, I mean, at this point, we do it. I mean, either way, you win it. You know, that's a win-win situation, as opposed to the one before 100%. Was a lose-lose situation, which was you got to fight off pit bulls and falcons. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So,
what's crazy is if listeners heard last podcast, to do the math, Black China's net worth is similar to Beyonce's.
Hey, listen, that's I'm starting OnlyFans tomorrow, bro. For real. Shut up. I'm only going to show like bald head pictures, like just different like shapes of my bald head. So are you ready for it? I mean, I'm just letting you know. We get this. We got to make it happen, bro. I got an album to promote.
Test it out. Test it out on your listening tour.
We'll try it
out. All right. That'll do it for Would You Rather. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Ginger Duggar Volo for joining us. Make sure to check out her new book, Becoming Free Indeed. It's available now. And again, that term, disentangled. Love it. See, deconstruction, I don't love because it means you're tearing it down. And don't love the idea of tearing down your faith. But the idea of disentangling the things from your faith that don't belong there. Yeah, I like that. Let's grab that phrase. That's good. That's a good one. Few updates. If you haven't checked out the spring issue of Relevant, it's available now. Go do it. It's available at relevantmagazine.com. You can check out the free edition there, the ad-supported edition. If you want to see the beautifully designed, enhanced edition, perfectly situated and designed for tablets and desktops and all, any of your devices, really, make sure to sign up for Relevant Plus. It's part of the Relevant Plus membership. You also get ad-free unlimited reading at relevantmagazine.com. You get ad-free podcasts, including this podcast, an exclusive subscriber podcast each week, and more coming this year. Plans start as low as $250 a month, and you can find out all the information by clicking the Relevant Plus tab right there at relevantmagazine.com. Also, if you want to stay in touch with everything we're putting out all day, every day, covering the intersection of faith, life, culture, justice, the whole nine, follow us on all the socials. We're on Twitter and Facebook, obviously posting everything, posting less regularly on IG. We're posting, well, I mean, we're posting most of the features on Instagram stories. It's a good way to keep in touch. And we're TikTok is coming. Don't judge us. We're a little late. But if you don't want to, you know, you don't want to have to scroll, you don't want to have to hunt and peck and find all of our social media content, you can just sign up for our top five trending stories each weekday morning sent to your inbox by signing up for our newsletter right there on the front page of relevantmagazine.com. It's on the sidebar of all of our articles as well. Just pop in your email address and it's a great way to stay in the know. Just the best of our content, the top five stories each weekday morning. Okay. On that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Derek Miner.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
For Jesse Carey, we'll see you on Friday. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Alien Demons gave me a banging blueberry muffin recipe, so.
Relevant Podcast Network.